One day, Jesus is coming. You may be at church. You may be at work. You may be asleep. God grant that you will be ready when he makes his personal appearance. My God, what if his appearance occurs on a Sunday morning? My prophetic word to you this morning is get ready! Get ready!
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקה. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
And good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday. Welcome to this NTEB House Church Sunday service. We're so glad that you're here. Our topic today, are you just winging it or trusting in the Lord? And what's the difference anyway? Many times in our Christian lives, we reach moments, the true importance of which may not be as of yet apparent, where decisions need to be made that will have long-lasting and far-reaching implications and impacts, but we're not sure what the will of the Lord is for us in that situation. So what do? Wait for the Lord to definitively speak? And if he doesn't, what then? Just wing it? Well, maybe the answer lies in doing a little bit of both. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 5. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Paul says that all Christians are soldiers under orders, that we have ground to take and occupy for the Lord, and that we will find the performance of these duties here on earth to be of paramount importance at the judgment seat of Christ. Roger that. But what if the path grows faint and orders from central command are not immediately forthcoming? What then? It is in those moments where you will have to wind up winging it, not as lost people do, but winging it with the full knowledge of who the Lord is and understanding a little bit about his character and nature. Paul in Acts chapter 20 wings it and winds up in prison when he didn't have to be. But when you look at the reason why he did, he was actually piling up blessing for himself at the judgment seat of Christ. On this Sunday service, we ask the question, is it the Lord's will or are you just winging it? Today, we're going to take a shot and find out. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, God, for all these that you've gathered here listening live and for the thousands that will be listening in the archives. And we just thank you, God. We praise you. And Lord, we need clarity today. We need insight. We need the wisdom of Solomon. And fortunately, we have it. And we're so glad and grateful that you've given us a King James Bible where you have preserved your word. And Father God, today we're going to open up that scripture of truth and ask you to lead us and guide us and show us what's going on from your word today. Father, there are so many people who are sick today and struggling and battling. And when we get to our prayer time today, so much to pray for. And Lord, let us also be focused on the many blessings that you give us and how you sustain us and you wake us up every day and you put food on the table, clothes on our back, a roof over our head. We are just so glad and so grateful for that. And so, Father God, we commit this time to you. We ask you to meet with us, ask you to work and move as only you can. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, I want to talk, when we get to the sermon part, I want to talk a little bit about winging it. Turn to Mark chapter 2, and let me just give you an example of what I'm talking about. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And when he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. You have four people bringing this one sick guy, and he's on some sort of a cot. He's on some sort of a mattress. Maybe it's just a blanket that is being held at the four corners. Verse 4 says, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they can't get to Jesus down on the ground. They uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let the bed down wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And so in this situation, you have Jesus, and he's in Capernaum, and he's preaching, and he's teaching, and everybody wants to get close to him. Everybody wants a healing. Everybody wants a blessing. Everybody wants a touch from the Master. And they have this guy, and he's sick. He has the palsy. I don't know whether he had ALS or whatever he had, but he had a disease where he couldn't control his arms, his legs, and he couldn't get out of bed. And his four friends are bringing him to the Lord, and they can see the Lord. They just can't get to him because there's so many people around him. So what do? One of them gets the bright idea, wait a second, what if we went up on the roof and then broke a hole in the roof and then let our buddy down so that Jesus could give him a blessing and give him a healing? And that's exactly what they did. It was unorthodox. It was a little bit odd. The Bible doesn't say anything about whoever owned the house and how that person might have felt what they did to his roof. But this is a really good biblical example of people who needed to get to the Lord, but their way was blocked, and there didn't seem to be any apparent solution to this very vexing situation. The need was very great, and so what did they do? They just winged it. One of them went up on the roof and started breaking off roof tiles and said, hey, come on up with that guy and let's let him down through the hole. And they were able to get his friend, their friend, to the Lord, and the Lord was able to give him a healing. And so today I want to talk to you about what do we do in a certain situation. We can see the Lord. He's like right there in front of us, but we can't get to him. We're saying, Lord, we have this thing. We need an answer for this question. And we don't hear anything. Well, sometimes you just got to go up on the roof and break a few ceiling tiles and go about it from a different angle. And it's a simple message today, but I think it's one that will give you a blessing. So glad that you're here today. We are not feeling well. We've been battling COVID and the flu simultaneously here in our house, and everybody has had their turn with it. So please keep us in your prayers. But we're just going to plow ahead, and I'm just going to trust the Lord that my voice will last. And it's already starting to crack, but that's okay. I would rather use it up in the Lord's service. There's no other way to go. And what do we say here? We say the war is real, the battle is hot, and the time is short. And it's to the fight that we must go today. If you're just tuning in, you haven't reached a church. We are the church. We are the body of Christ. Welcome to church.
It's time for us to face the fact that for decades we've ruined our name. Just look around us. It's easy to see that we share the blame. It's on you.
Each of us are hurting, but we have all been called to carry the message to this human race. Our message is love. Our anthem is grace. It's time we remembered who we are.
This is the church.
The Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. Paul says, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That's what the Bible says the church is. It is the body of Jesus Christ, and it's nothing more, it's nothing less. That's exactly what it is. That's why we come back with him in Revelation 19, verse 14, on white horses, and because we are his body, and we go where he goes, and how exciting that day is going to be. I don't know about you, Lori and I were talking about this just the other day, but man, we are so very much looking forward to coming back in Revelation 19 on those white horses and glorified bodies in the actual army of the Lord, and following him as he stomps his enemies. And now we work to see lost people get saved and saved people get on fire for God. But in that day, it's just going to be a whole lot of stomping.
I wonder if you know him. Don't try to mislead me. Do you know my king? The Bible says he's a king of the Jews. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. Now that's my king. Well, no barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his solar supply. Well, he's enduringly strong. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. And he's impartially merciful. That's my king. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's preeminent. Well, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good. He's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? Do you know my king? Well, my king is a key of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a gateway of glory. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. His promise is sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Do you know him? Well, he's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I'm coming to tell you, the heavens of heaven cannot contain him, let alone a man explain him. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. He always has been, and he always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor, and he'll have no successor. There was nobody before him, and there'll be nobody after him. You can't even beat him, and he's not going to resign. That's my king. Yeah! Do you know him? He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. Yeah!
Goodbye, old world. Good morning there. bless his name.
It's a well of pure water when I'm thirsty and dry, and bread when I'm hungry and worn. When the battle is raging, it's my faithful sword, my shelter from life's troubled storm. It's a light to my pathway, a lamp to my feet. When the world gets so dark you can't see, and I've not made a change in one word that it says, but it sure made a change in me. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's the solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin.
If you have a prayer request or praise report, please post it into the chat room and we'll get to it right after this.
The preacher got up and said, "Stand to your feet. We'll start with a prayer. If you have a need, let it be heard, saints, let it be known. We're all family, and you're not alone." But that's when he saw her in the back of the church. Her silence and sadness cried out the hurt. The kind shepherd knew just what to say. "I need to know before we pray." An unspoken request.
Does anybody have one here tonight? Did you come with a burden you can't share? A need in your life?
Just lift up your hand
to the one who can give you rest.
Child, have no fear,
our God can hear
an unspoken request. Well, the preacher whispered as she raised her hand, "Sweet Holy Spirit, come by her and stand." When her tears started flowing, he had no doubt that in the throne room of heaven, her secret was out. An unspoken request.
Does anybody have one here tonight? Did you come with a burden you can't share? A need in your life?
Just lift up your
hand to the one who can give you rest.
Child, have no fear,
our God can hear
a
an unspoken request. Child, have no fear, our God can hear an unspoken request.
Amen, amen. Our God can absolutely hear an unspoken request. The Bible says this in Philippians chapter 4. This is what the Apostle Paul says that we need to know about prayer. A lot of Christians think that all we're supposed to do is say the Our Father. That's not prayer for a Christian. It's a prayer for a Jew who's waiting for the kingdom of heaven. But for you and I in the kingdom of God, this is how you and I are to pray. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Paul says, when you pray, if you're a born-again Christian, don't be anxious, don't be worried, don't be nervous. Lift up your prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Be grateful to God for what He's already done for you. And Paul says, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. Didn't say that the answer that He's going to give you is going to solve your problem. He says that when you pray, God's going to give you peace about it. And then He's going to give you the answer that, according to Him, will solve your problem. And the peace of God, Philippians 4, 7, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Heavenly Father, we're glad today for our salvation. We're grateful that you give us work to do. And Father God, today, just wash away everything that would separate us from you in a right relationship. Your word says in 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we pray today, Lord, that you would cleanse each and every one of us. And today we pray for lost souls. We pray for Sarah and Eric and Becky Jacobs, Greg and Melissa Price, Glenn Clark, and Jeanette's family, Cheyenne, Bridget, Tony, Dion, Matthew, Samuel, two great grandbabies. Lord, Trista and Tara, Trevor, Derek, Adam, and Roland Carrier and their families, my brothers John and David, Jesse and his mom, Rachel's dad, Ralph, members of the Bolton family, Jordan Shapiro, David Peck, in the Weir's Bickey family, Valerie and Marie, Greg Sr., Greg Jr., Jeffrey's children, Tyler, Tevin, daughter-in-law, Caitlin, grandsons Logan, Ronnie, and Russell. Jeanette and Bob have unsaved family members. Connie has unsaved kids. Brandy, unsaved family members. Rita in Colorado praying for her son Dan. Ron for salvation. Daniel, Patrick, and Brian. Lori W., Brian M., David Lacker. Barbara's praying for Robert, Naomi, Blake, Alex, Ethan, Raquel, Janet, and Chandel. Nicole Zimmer, praying for best friend and family, the Meads and the Cooks. Cheyenne, praying for Barry K., Terry C., Alan G., Melody, Nick, Beth, Ethan, and Haley. Karen's kids, Jason and Tiffany. Grandchildren, Summer, Austin, and Emmett. Barbara's son, Jody, Mark Sherlock, praying for Savannah and Mom Stephanie. Werner Bukes for Bob and Abby. Junie Grant and their dad for salvation, Kathy Hughes' son, Haley is praying for Zane, Lulu, unsaved family members, Miles, unsaved family member. No, Miles and his family are unsaved. In the Giacomino family, Dennis, Michelle, Lorenzo, Roman, Gianna, Jessica, Sophia, Justin, Blondie, Giovanni, Luca, Dominic, Deb, Maurice, Courtney, Josh, Gabe, Haley, Emma, Amy, Rochelle, Dan, Evie, Lincoln, Felicia, Ethan, Bob, Stacy, Lauren, Andrew, and Karen. Dawn D praying for David, Paul Caulfield, for Father Fred and brother-in-law Frank. Ramona Hayes praying for daughter Kimberly to be saved and delivered from alcohol. Also for grandchildren William, Jason, David, and Amanda and their families to be saved. Patrick praying for Jack and Aaron. Chelsea P for her ex-husband, his parents, his sister, and her husband. Lori B, Shira McPherson for children Scott, Sherry, and Nicole. Lorianne's grandfather, Irvin, Mark Fennell, Kevin Thompson for his father, Tim, Steve Graves, Elga, Rob for three children, Max, Olivia, and Mikey, Phyllis T for her husband, retired Navy SEAL Brian A. Robbins for salvation, Todd Broom's brother, Thad, Marie's friend's family, Ashley, Dayton, Alyssa, Kyle, Brandon, Grace, Micah, and Macy. Adam and Katie for parents, sisters, brother-in-law, nieces, and nephews. Joe Ruscello for his mom, sister, granddaughters, and in-law. Ellen praying for her grandsons, Braden and Logan. His Grace praying for Rob, Summer, Sue and Mike, Carl, Jason and Rachel, Jason and Carrie, Lola's son William and wife Lindsay, Hannah's mom, Anja praying for Hanu, John Charles, and Anna Lilsa, Dave Evans for his friend Taylor, Viviana for her brother Javier Reyes, Adam and Katie for their neighbors Jason, Eddie, and Brian, Loretta Oates for her sons Kenny and Matthew, Jane praying for her son Troy, Julie Lynn for Katie Ann, Chona for Estefano Jr., Eugenia and her kids, Maricel and Cherry, and her siblings, Julia and Maria Tricia. Chuck Edgerton for his son Jacob and mom Lynette. Samantha for Beth, Deborah Hare, unsaved family members. Rita, unsaved Catholic family members. Teresa, unsaved family members. Lisa, praying for her father John. Annabelle, unsaved kids. Deborah Milton's son, Billy, Hap Nightingale, praying for his sons, Jimmy and Zach, to get saved. Don Huff, Claire, and Virginia. Norman Merkel, please pray for my daughter, Kara, granddaughter, Ava, son-in-law, Stephen Matthews, and Lynette Crew. Henrique Larson wants prayer for his parents, Kygel and Elizabeth, sister and spouse, Ingrid and Frederick, and his mom's aunt, Barrett. Roz has lost family members. Brian needs to get saved. Andrew Whittington. Marisol Barcina has unsaved Catholic family members in Panama. Rapture 57, unsaved family. Gail praying for Jim. Shirley Meador for her brother and his wife. Eric Brian Huey, please pray for my parents, Anna and Norillo, as well as members of my family and co-workers. Tony the Carpenter and his son Cole, Kenny B for unsaved family, Rachel K for unsaved family and friends, Sandra C has unsaved Catholic family, Marky Mark, unsaved relatives, Regina Danner, please pray for Kelly, Cisco, Chris, Richard, Wayne, John, Sandra, Tamara, Hazel, and Jimmy. And let me just move Cisco and Chris not next to each other. There we go. Haley's aunt and family for salvation. Carol from Georgia, please pray for my sister, cousins, and families, and Aunt Joey. The Breida family for salvation. Stacy praying for her husband to get saved. Rachel Adams, for Kim, Jesse, Angelina, Carrie, Mikey, Alyssa, and Stan. Ashley, to get saved and overcome addiction. Mark, salvation for his sons Michael, Matthew, Mason, and daughter Michaela. Mitch, for his daughters Rachel and Hannah and their husbands. The delivery people who service the bookstore. We witness to those people all the time, in overt and subtle ways. So please pray for the UPS, the post office, and the FedEx people who come into the bookstore. Jericho would like salvation prayer for his family, Brenda's husband, Paul. Kenny, salvation prayer for friends and family. Amanda, asking prayer for Melanie and Payden. The Muto family for salvation. Steph is praying for Michael. Terry, for her family. Xavier, please pray for my mom, Reyes, wife, Selma, daughters, Clara and Lulu, and extended family members. Maria Silva for her Jehovah's Witness family in Venezuela. Donna Lynn's children, Shannon, Todd, Kaylin, and Jake. Tiffany Brown for her mother-in-law. The La Piana family for extended family members. Dave Evans for friend Diana. Sue Duchesne's son Norman, CJ's mom. Shira Shine for Kevin, Michelle, and Lewis. Loretta Watsney's husband and children. Rebecca Lynn for Joel Smith. Shirley for Marie, Haley, Patricia, Jaden, Richard. Patricia S., Joshua, Ruby, Gerald, Josiah, Monice, and her husband Hamid and his family. Marianne Ellie's children, John and Marie and Christine, for salvation, and her grandkids, Sophia, Jacob, David, and Katrina. Tracy and Ralph Wallace, son-in-law Ethan, daughter Shanna, and grandson Caden. David Peck's, Beth Peck's husband David, as well as children Heather and Damien. Terry Ewing's daughter Bryn, Teresa M's children James, Frank, and Peter. Jose De La Rosa's mom, Alicia. Patricia T for her son Adam, stepsisters and stepmom. Chelsea and Brian Plagman for their son Bryce and girlfriend Eva. Zuzana for salvation. Vladimira would like prayer for her husband Ken and friend Katka. Steph praying for brother Michael. Cassandra for husband Todd, sons Nathan and Andrew, and for her son Sonny, who is backslidden. Marie Sim for her ex-husband, who's a Mason. Salvation prayer also for her son John and his family, daughter Tracy and her family. Jean-Paul Mesa, please pray that my Catholic mom gets saved. Deborah Mack for John and Brenda. Zach Jeffson's mom for salvation. Katrina for salvation. Chelsea P for Mike T. Mia in Texas for children Danielle, Kimberly, and AJ. Holly, please add my husband Nick to the prayer list for salvation. Rob for my friend Eddie. Deborah Mack, please pray for Brandy to get saved. Char would like prayer for her mom and extended family. Linda, praying for Richard Kitzmiller. Heather W., please pray for my daughter Sophia. She is not a believer. Carly Hamill, salvation for Catholic family in Maine. Salvation for Catholic family in California. And salvation for my younger Congolese family in Africa, who are just learning, and conviction for the older ones. Angela Moffat, I am asking you to add my 22-year-old son Matthew to the list. He is in a same-sex relationship and has renounced his faith. A lot of names on the salvation list today. People who need a healing. Lori Ann's mom, Joyce, started chemotherapy last week. She's battling a tumor in her breast. Our friend Krista has a tumor wrapped around her ribs and three additional tumors. Debbie Mathias' daughter-in-law, Abby, had a second stroke. She is doing better. And her and her husband, Preston, are thankful for all the prayers. My brother Jimmy continues to heal after having 6 liters of fluid removed from his abdomen. Please pray for his ongoing healing. Amanda Emaw, possible return of cancer. Thomas, well, he's discouraged, and we're praying that God would meet his needs. Annetta had a stroke in 2022, and we are praying for her to be able to walk again on her own. David asking prayer for Mom Laura, who has had a stroke. Sadie has heart-related issues. I'm going to take her off of the prayer list just because when we spoke last week, she didn't mention anything about that. So I'm going to assume that the Lord has given her the answer to her prayer request. Marcia Swanson, she has myalgic encephalomyelitis. Now, we've been praying that for her for many, many months, and I don't even know what it is, but it is chronic fatigue, or myalgic encephalomyelitis is a debilitating condition affecting millions of people with muscle, joint, and pain, muscle and joint pain. Sleep disturbances, headaches, memory, concentration, sore throat, tender lymph nodes, it seems to be connected to a respiratory condition. So please pray for Marcia Swanson. She is homebound and has that condition. George H. for health issues. James Rivette, going for a new job, has to take a drug test. And we're praying that all is going well and that he is staying sober. Robert Wiley, battling ALS disease. Jill Puckett, losing her vision. Paul Caulfield has type 1 sugar diabetes. Ron Elliston has cancer. Brooke Kettlecamp has autism. Dan Kane's wife, Roxy, with MS. Also prayers for son Jonathan. Rob's friend Mike has MS. Ida Karulik has cancer. Mark Seals has numerous health issues. Roz has asthma and scoliosis. Maddie Luck has Lewy body dementia. And she says, please add my daughter Michelle to the list. She has severe neuropathy and fibromyalgia. Tracy has severe arthritis in her spine, diabetes type 2, and fatty liver. Michelle Christian has bone cancer. Melissa B's husband, Brian, has stage 3 kidney disease. Ricky Gouda needs prayer for her eyesight. Her daughter, Norcha, is going to be having thyroid surgery on March 4th. That comes with about a 3-week recovery time. So pray for her. Casey is a woman with lupus and kidney issues. Jane says, please pray that my parents and brother get saved and that my husband gets a healing. Brooke's sister Ashley has MS. Jackie H. needs God's favor regarding custody of her son. Katka suffers from ALS. Dave Evans' friend Manuela has bone cancer. Stacy going through a divorce and needs wisdom. Terry Horn has had several strokes and needs a walker. Casey's husband is unsaved and an alcoholic. We're praying for salvation and deliverance. Matthew Morrow, prayers for delivery from alcoholism after having a relapse. Also prayers for his parents, Dan and Peggy. Tom Rantz, update number 3. He had a stroke and a brain bleed last year. He's getting a little bit better, and his personality and liveliness is returning. And we're so happy to hear that praise report. Julius, please continue to pray for my mom, Erlinda, and niece, Rochelle. Brooke's friend's child, Birdie, 4-year-old with seizures and having a stroke. Please pray for her. Kathy Heald, please keep me on the prayer list. My x-rays show lots of things from previous conditions from years gone by. Also keep husband Robert and Aunt Linda on the list for macular degeneration. Please keep Rob Beatty on the prayer list. Let me see if I have a quick update from Rob Beatty. Give me just a second to look that up. And Rob Beatty says, all right, here it is. I have lost my appetite. All I want to do is sleep. He's having back problems as well. So please keep brother Rob Beatty in your prayers. Ashley DeShields continues to recover from West Nile virus. Pray for her. Wayne has cancer. Not sure if he's saved. Teresa G has macular degeneration. Shira Shine, family issues, deep family issues. And we pray that God will resolve and reconcile those. Linda Benjamin, overall health and memory problems. Berta and Mike Crabb have health issues and need a healing. Derek O'Reilly had asked us to pray for his mom, who was going to have some blood tests. And if you're listening, Derek, please give us an update. Brooke says, please add my dad to the list. He has to have a blood transfusion. So please pray for Brooke's dad. Ladies who are expecting, Christy Ireland, Char's daughter Miranda, Jordan P., Stephanie Juliana, Sarah Ann Severson, and Spray of Sunshine's son and his girlfriend are expecting twins. Also, Mark Saxo would like prayer for his son Joseph to return to the Lord. Jan Lacker has multiple things that she needs God to do, to get in the middle of. Char, waiting for their jail ministry to be reopened. Linda, please pray for my son Stephen. He's in a bad way. Julie Baird, prayer for living situation and finances. Deborah Mack, praying for Devin Miller. Lost Lake Lass says that her son Tristan went missing on November 29th and has not returned yet. Linda LaPiana would like prayer for her children, Stephen, Danielle, and Christopher, to return to the Lord. Also prayer for Stephen and his wife Hannah's financial situation. Joe LaPiana is still looking for work, I believe. Linda, if you're listening, please give us an update. Jordan Shapiro, studying in Japan until May. Please pray for his safety and salvation, says Mother Dina. Daniel B., please pray for me. I am struggling with sin and feel weak. Also, please pray that I would understand God's word more clearly. Amen. People with an unspoken today. The LaPiana family, Jeanette, Adrian P. Breda, Debbie Mathias, Rachel Adams, Julius, Dave Evans, Ricky Gouda, Blaine, Jennifer, Carol from Georgia, Ron M., Irad Byru Mumishu, Bonnie, Marie Comfort, Julie Baird, Amanda Stern, Rob, Steph, Marie C., Julius, Mona and Leah, Angela, Brooke, Linda, Lulu, and Linda Pippin. Please remember our free Bible and gospel track program in your prayers, and we have an update on that in just a bit. Also, please pray for our overseas pastors. In the Philippines, Pastors John Reed, Danny, and Arnell. In Vietnam, Pastor Fojon. In Turkey, we have Luann, who is an American missionary to the Muslims. Pastor David Mark in India. Stephen McCarroll in Ireland. Irad Byru Mumishu in Uganda. And Xavier in Spain. Please remember our NTEB street preachers. In the United States, we have Brian Kelly of the King James Bible Baptist Church, Kyle and Reagan Gorzel in Baton Rouge, Street Preacher Marie in Philadelphia, Mike Abram is a trucker who leaves Bibles at truck stops, Jay is a street preacher in New York City, Joe Rusiello is a street preacher in Eagle Pass, Joshua Gaskins has a gospel tract ministry in Virginia, and Aaron and Teresa McMahon from CPR Missions out of Tennessee. Up in Canada, please pray for Paul and Peggy Caulfield, Adrian P. Breda, Werner Bukes, South Africa, Arthur Hueys, and in Australia, Henry Biggs and Jennifer Thompson. All right, let's go to the chat room today. Julius, praise report, my mother Erlinda getting better. Blood sugar and blood pressure are stable, but her eyesight remains blurry, possibly because of diabetes. Also, my niece Rochelle is now an outpatient and getting better after being hospitalized because of kidney failure. Please pray for them that their condition gets even better in the coming days. Heath says, please pray for me, y'all. I have COVID, and it's hitting me rough. Brain fog is my biggest issue. My mind goes blank. And that happened to me multiple times last week during the broadcast that we could do. I'm talking about something, and next thing you know, I just have absolutely nothing in my mind. And hang in there, brother. It's hard, but we are praying that God will give you a healing. Rob says, please pray for my cousins Chris and Dan that I go to witness to this week. Amen. Andrew, please pray for my brother Bobby, who just had a foot and half a leg amputated. He is having a very tough time. Amen. Also, please pray for Terry. The Lord knows. Lulu says, in all capital letters, unspokens. And she has some important ones. Well, they're all important. But she put them in capital letters, so we're going to give them a little bit of extra emphasis today. Prairie Girl has been sick with painful interstitial cystis. 3 weeks now, praying for relief and healing. Kenny B. says, I ordered a new part for the PC that I built. Please pray that it works without any problems. Amen. Kimmy D., please pray for my friend Luigi, just placed in hospice with pancreatic cancer. Heavenly Father, big, important prayers today and every day. Lots of hardcore sickness going around, but you are the great physician. Yes, if necessary, we go to an earthly doctor. If necessary, we take earthly medications. But Father God, we look to you as the great healer, the great physician. You, Lord, heal us of all our diseases. And Lord, we come to you and ask you to get in the middle of all these prayers and praises and do something with them, Lord. Heal and work and move and guide, restore. Give us the help that we need, Father God. If you don't do it, it's not going to get done. If you don't give it to us, we're not going to have it. And Father God, we just put all this in your hands today. We just ask you to work and move as only you can. Heal the broken bodies, Lord, the broken hearts. Reconcile the families that are split apart and spouses that are getting divorced and parents and children that don't talk and brothers and sisters mad at each other, Lord. And we ask you to work and move and heal and to do something with all of that, God. And we'll give you all of the honor and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know what the Bible says in Luke chapter 9, verse 1? Luke chapter 9, verse 1, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Wouldn't it be great if that type of healing was available to us today? Now, if you're a charismatic, you're calling me a cessationist and telling me that I am limiting the Holy Ghost. But I'm doing nothing of the kind. That type of healing does not exist today. If it did, there wouldn't be as many sick people as we have. And so we appeal directly to the great physician today. We ask him to work and move and to restore. You know what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2? Philippians chapter 2, verse 25. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after all of you and was full of heaviness because ye had heard that he had been sick. And look at what Paul says about his friend Epaphroditus. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. At this point in his life, Paul no longer possesses the apostolic gifts. He can't lay his hands on his beloved friend and laborer, co-laborer, Epaphroditus. Timothy has stomach problems, and he can't help him there. He just says, take a little wine for thy stomach's sake and for thy often infirmities. We don't have that gift today. There's no laying on of hands and watching the cripples leap into the air and blind people suddenly see. And if you think that's going on, well, you just send me a link for where that's happening because I want to go there and I want to meet those people. But as far as I can see, it's not happening anywhere. But do not be discouraged. We have prayer. And Paul has already shown us how to pray. And we know that God hears our prayer and he answers it according to his will for us. In just a few minutes, we're going to get to the message today. If you're just tuning in, are you just winging it or trusting in the Lord? What's the difference anyway? When we come back, we'll show you what the difference is.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. Jesus, the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ears, 'tis life and health and peace. He breaks the power of cancer sin, he sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean, his blood avail for me. Hear him, ye deaf, his praise ye dumb, your lips and tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Savior come, and leave ye lame for joy. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of thy name.
calm sea with Jesus. The disciples were getting concerned. The wind started violently blowing, but he was asleep in the stern. Does he not care that we perish? We're helpless and we're so afraid. Jesus arose when they called him and said to them, where is your faith?
Because you prayed all night, because you held on with all of your might, child, your cries have awoken the Master. Oh, he knows your voice. Lift your head.
Of your life had begun, seeing no hope in the distance. You're frightened and nowhere to run. By now your vessel is filling, and you're thinking that you'll surely drown. You've cried out for help from the Savior, and you know you can't give up now.
Because you prayed all night, because you held on with all your might, child, your cries have awoken the Master. Oh, he knows your voice. Lift your hands, it's time to rejoice.
But he's fast asleep. The winds are so deadly, the water's so deep. But try to be patient, 'cause soon he'll bring peace.
Just one word from his voice, and it all must cease.
Amen. Your cries have awoken the Master. Well, he was awake the whole time anyway. All right, let's get started today with... Well, hold on here a second. Oh, I love that song. Oh, you know what? We're just going to let that song play. I love this song.
And home when Jesus. and I know He watches me. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know
Amen. I know why I hit that song accidentally. Open your Bibles, please, to Lamentations chapter 3 for our text today. If you're just tuning in, our message is, are you just winging it or trusting in the Lord? And what's the difference anyway? Now, while you're turning to Lamentations chapter 3, let me just remind you that we have an email from Chaplain Billy and his team in Alabama. And he emailed us last week and said, could you please send 200 more Hispanic Bibles? I just gave out my last one to a patient this morning in the hospital. He was so glad to receive it. He hugged, then kissed his Bible. And he says, so could you please help? Could you send us 200 more Spanish King James Bibles? Sorry to keep asking, but the need is great. And this is Chaplain Billy and his Hispanic ministry team over there in Alabama. And what they do is they go to the local hospitals and they deal with Hispanic people who are sick and injured, and they need to hear from the Lord, and they pray with them, and sometimes they get saved, sometimes they're already saved, and they hand out the Spanish Bibles that we give them. And he would like 200 more. We're also raising funds for a church in the Philippines. He only asked for 50 of them, but everybody in the chat room said, let's send a couple of hundred, and I would love to be able to do that. If you would like to help us to do that, please pray about it, and then go to BiblesBehindBars.com or NowTheEndBegins.com and click on any of the donate buttons and help us to fulfill all these requests. These are just two of about half a dozen requests that we have right now. And if you'd like to help us to do that, that would be great. We need your help. We cannot do it without your help. Just go to BiblesBehindBars.com or NowTheEndBegins.com and click on any of the donate buttons and help us to send these Bibles across America and around the world. Thank you, as always, very much. Lamentations chapter 3, my text for the day is verse 25. But let's get the context and let's look at verses 22 through 26. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 20. No, actually it's not. Lamentations 3, 19 through 26. Let's get the whole context. Lamentations 3, 19 says, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance. and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for our prayer and praise time. We thank you for our NTEB family. We thank you for this ministry that you have raised up all these many years. And Father God, we ask you to be with us now as we open up your word. Be with me as I preach and teach, and let it be a blessing. And if there's one listening who is lost that doesn't know you as Savior, we pray, Lord, that something will click in today that would lead that person to salvation. And for those of us that are saved, and maybe there is a lukewarm Laodicean amongst us today, that's good, because this is the place where you can get back on fire. And we just pray that that would be the case, Lord. And we commit all this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, first of all, let me just say to everybody who I see a lot of people in the chat room how very much everyone is enjoying the new NTEB jukebox on Spotify. We are so glad that you are doing that, and so glad to see the reaction. We have thousands of people listening to the jukebox, and that's exactly what it's there for. People are saying it gets me through the day. Number of people have requests. Jeanette from Wisconsin says it helped me sleep when I had the flu this week. And what a blessing that is. So very happy to see that the jukebox has been as warmly received as it has been. And we will continue to add to this jukebox. Linda says it's awesome. And, you know, it's not just any jukebox. It's our jukebox. It's the songs that we have played here for over a decade. And we haven't been able to get all of them up, but about 98%. And we're working on that other 2%. So you're very welcome about the jukebox. Very, very glad that you are enjoying it. And a lot of people asking about the camp meeting. And I haven't been able to get the registration page up yet because we've been sick. But in the meantime, just send us an email, info@nowtheendbegins.com, and let us know if you are planning on attending. I am hoping to have the actual registration page up sometime today, but you can. A lot of people have been emailing and just saying we have 2 people coming, 5 people coming. In the meantime, just email us, info@nowtheendbegins.com, and let us know if you're going to be coming to the camp meeting. A little different this year. It's on a Sunday instead of a Saturday. The actual camp meeting is May 19th. And we are having a camp meeting weekend from the 17th to the 19th. And Brother Roy Bell is going to be coming down from Las Vegas, Nevada. We're going to have Chaplain Steve from the Ader County Jail in Stillwell, Oklahoma. And our theme this year, Bibles Behind Bars. We're going to give you the preachers behind the bars, and we're going to give you the prisoners from behind the bars. And I promise you, you are going to learn so much about jail ministry. A lot of people approach me and they say, I have a heart for the prisoner. What do I do? And jail ministry is a very specific thing. And our camp meeting this year is going to be all about jail ministry. And Brother Roy Bell's going to be one of the preachers. Chaplain Steve from the Ader County Jail. That's the place that we sent Bibles to last year, and revival broke out. Literal, actual revival broke out. And he's going to come to our camp meeting. He's beyond excited. And he's going to tell us exactly what happens behind those bars. And it's going to be a blessing for you. And it's going to be a blessing for me, too. I can't wait to hear what these men have to say. All right, let's get into the message. Where is that verse? Lamentations, chapter 3. I want to point out a few things about this passage. Lamentations 3:19. I want to show you where Jeremiah starts from. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. Jeremiah starts out concentrating on what's wrong. He says, I have an affliction, I have a misery. It's like I'm drinking wormwood and gall. Nothing's working. The body's not working. The mind's not working. My soul feels like it's on fire. My spirit feels quenched. Verse 19 says, I remember my affliction and my misery. And you know what? That's a good starting place. Just don't stay there. Don't stay focused on what the problem is. Acknowledge the problem. Jeremiah says, I remember my affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. Verse 20, my soul has had them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. And already Jeremiah is making the transition. The topic of our message today is a simple one. Are you just winging it, or are you following the Lord, or is it a little bit of both? Jeremiah says, I remember my affliction, my misery, the wormwood, the gall. My soul hath them in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind. Why? Therefore have I hope. Hope in what? Verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Doesn't Jesus say, casting all your care upon him, or Peter say about Jesus, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you? That's what we're supposed to do with our affliction and our misery. And the wormwood and the gall. Jesus says, bring it, bring it. Lay it down at my feet. Let me take it. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because of his compassions we fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And now the writer of Lamentations, he's beginning to remember. Count your many blessings, count them one by one. Count your many blessings, and you'll see what God has done. And now Jeremiah is remembering how good the Lord is. And you know what he's remembering? He's remembering that God woke him up today. God gave him something to eat today. Read the book of Jeremiah. Sometime it's just a crust of moldy old bread, but it's something. God put a roof over his head today, and God put clothes on his back today. And he says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because of his compassions they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. How many times have you had a problem, a situation, a crossroads, an obstacle, a blockage of some kind in your life, and you couldn't proceed one step further? Well, you can pray. And not only that, you can praise. A lot of what Jeremiah talks about in the book of Jeremiah happens while he is in prison, while he is locked up. What about the Apostle Paul? Keep your finger in Lamentations 3 and turn to Acts chapter 20. Turn to Acts chapter 20. Here's a guy who loved to just wing it. Acts chapter 20. And let's start reading in verse 17. Acts 20, verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to them, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept nothing back that was profitable unto you, but have showed you, and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. And this is one of my absolute favorite Bible verses of all time. Acts 20:24. But none of these things move me. I'm not focused on the problems. I'm not focused on the obstacles. I'm not focused on what I don't have. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. Why would Paul say that? So that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And so the Apostle Paul was told, Agabus, he spoke prophetically, the man that wears this girdle, he's going to prison. The Holy Spirit told Paul, if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to go to prison. And if you look at the graphic for the article for this Sunday service, very interesting graphic. It's an old World War II plane, and one of the engines has fallen off. The other engines are on fire. It appears to be flying downward into darkness, and you don't see it in the picture, but it's highly likely that it's about to face a big cliff of some kind. It's going to go crashing into the rocks at any given moment. And we can just imagine what the pilot of this ship might be thinking. Perhaps they have a parachute and they're preparing to jump. Perhaps there's no parachutes and they're preparing to jump anyway. Perhaps they don't know what to do and they just got to wing it. That's what the Apostle Paul did in Acts chapter 20. He says, you know what? I hear all the reasons why I shouldn't go. But in my heart, I've got to continue this ministry that God gave me. And you know what? Sometimes God will give you an out. He doesn't want you to take it, but he'll give it to you anyway. And sometimes there is a blessing in not taking the out that God gives us. And to simply say, Lord, I feel so strongly in my heart that I need to do this ministry thing. Would you please be with me and go before me and work this thing out? I don't know the outcome of it. I don't know what's going to happen. But I know that I got to be faithful to the ministry that you've given me. Paul says, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And maybe God was giving Paul an out. Hey, Paul, you don't have to go to Jerusalem. Why don't you just sit back and take it easy for a while? And Paul says, but I don't want to take it easy, Lord. I'm so glad and grateful for my salvation. You know what? Let's just wing it, Lord. And I know you sent Agabus, but I'm going to go anyway. And I hear what the Holy Spirit warning me about what happens if I go, but he's not telling me not to. He's just telling me that there's going to be problems if I do. But God, why don't I just go anyway and trust that you'll work out the problems? Turn to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, we all know this story. Jesus is preaching and teaching in Capernaum, and the house is filled with people. Maybe 100 people inside and outside. And these four men have a friend who's sick. And they're carrying him on this bed. It's probably a big sheet. And the sick person is lying in the sheet. Mark says he has the palsy. And they're trying to get their sick friend to the Lord, but there's just no room. There's just no way. The Lord's not looking over at them. The text doesn't say it, but you could certainly assume that they're asking people, would you please excuse me so I can bring our sick friend in here? And maybe they're saying, hey, buddy, this house is filled with a lot of sick friends. And why don't you just get to the back of the line? But there was a sense of urgency with these men. Maybe there's something that the text doesn't say about why there was such a sense of urgency. Mark 2:4 says, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. You know, the Marine Corps has a motto, improvise, adapt, and overcome. It's exactly what these men did. They looked at the situation. They said, well, we're not going to get through the front door. We're not going to get through the window. We're not going to get through the back door. There's just far too many people. But look, there's nobody on the roof. So the first thing that they do is they improvise. They go up on the roof and they begin to remove the roof tiles. They're adapting to their situation. They're not staying stuck in neutral. Now, the Lord never told him to go up on the roof. And as I said earlier, I'm sure they had to put the roof tiles back and make amends to the person's house. You know, how would you feel if somebody was up on your roof taking the roof tiles off? You wouldn't like it too much. So they had to improvise. They had to adapt. And then when they get a hole in the roof, the other three men bring up the guy and they lower him down through the hole in the roof, and now they have overcome their problem. What did they do? They just winged it. They didn't sit back. Somebody once said that sitting and waiting for the Lord to answer your prayer doesn't mean to sit and wait and do nothing. My friend Craig told me a little bit about what it's like in the life of a soldier. And I gave this example a couple of weeks ago, and a lot of people were quite astonished by this. But if you have a soldier in the military, and let's say that they're doing some sort of testing on chemical warfare, and they explode some sort of a chemical warfare device into a controlled environment, Craig told me that the next thing that happens is they take the lowest member grunt, the lowest private, and they tell that private to put on the safety goggles, and now you go inside that room and you let us know when it's safe to come in. Now, does the military actually treat their soldiers that way? Well, if you're in the military, you know that I'm telling you the truth. That's exactly how they treat soldiers. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Hey, private, why don't you put this goggles on and this plastic sheet? And why don't you go into that room where we just exploded the chemical device, and you go in there and tell us when it's okay. You go in and give us the all clear. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And sometimes you just have to be willing to wing it. Sometimes you just have to be willing to gamble on the outcome. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Look at verse 11. Ecclesiastes 9:11, Solomon says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. And sometimes in our Christian life, we find ourselves in a place or a situation where there really is no prevailing wisdom on what to do. And so I want to give you a couple of suggestions today. A couple of ideas from the prophet Jonah that just may help you to wing it for the Lord. Turn to Jonah chapter 1. Turn to Jonah chapter 1. Now, we're all familiar with the story of Jonah. God calls him to preach to the wicked Gentile Ninevites, and Jonah doesn't want to do it. Now, he's not just being disobedient. He's not just being rebellious. The Ninevites were terrible people, and the Ninevites had spent a lot of time and effort killing the Jews. They are a wicked bunch of Gentiles. Jonah doesn't want to have anything to do with them because he knows how they operate. Just like in Acts chapter 9, when Jesus says to Ananias, hey, I got this guy Saul, and he's blind, and I need you to go in and lay your hands on him and give him his sight back. And Ananias begins to push back to the Lord and say, wait a second, Lord. I know about this guy, and he is one scary guy. I think I'm going to have to sit this one out. Can you imagine saying that? But that's what Ananias said. He wasn't being disobedient. Well, a little bit. But he was terrified. Ananias didn't want to have anything to do with Saul, whether he was blind or not blind. Ananias was afraid. That's why he said no originally to the Lord. Now, I don't know if Jonah was afraid of the Ninevites, but I know that he hated them because of their violence towards the Jewish people. So God calls him to preach to the wicked Gentile Ninevites, and Jonah doesn't want to do it. So instead of obeying God, Jonah gets on a boat to Tarshish, thinking he's going to place himself beyond God's call. Have you ever done that? Have you ever said to yourself, well, I don't want to do what God wants me to do, so I'm going to put myself in a place where God's not going to want to use me anyway? And you do that forgetting verses like the gifts and calling of God are without repentance, and forgetting verses like he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it even unto the day of Jesus Christ. Where can you go to put yourself on the shelf? The answer is nowhere. Jonah chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go up with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. From the very moment Jonah boarded the boat, two things happened. First, God sent a mighty storm that was so intense that the seasoned mariners were terrified that their ship was about to be ripped in two. Second, Jonah had gone down into the hold of the ship to catch up on some much-needed sleep. Wait, what? Why is he going down? If these seasoned boatmen are terrified, why is Jonah going downstairs to go to sleep? And right here is where we are introduced to why Jonah could sleep soundly and peacefully while the sailors were beside themselves in fear. Jonah chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. Now, the Bible doesn't say that Jonah was taking a nap, doesn't say he was trying to catch 40 winks. It says that he was fast asleep. That means he was sleeping deeply and restfully, like somebody without a care in the world. Yet, for the sailors up on top, it was a living nightmare. How can this be? How can Jonah just be winging it and going to bed while this unbelievable storm sent by God was raging? Jonah had a spiritual secret, and I want to share that secret with you today. Jonah's spiritual secret was that he personally knew the nature and character of the God that he served. He had seen him work and move in the past. He had the testimony of all the scripture spoken and written up to that point. And Jonah believed everything that he knew to be true about God. Not only that, because he knew who God was, he also knew what God would do in a given situation. And Jonah trusted that with all his heart. Now, how much did Jonah believe in what he knew to be true about God? He believed it enough to bet his own life on the fact that he would not be killed in that storm on the boat, because God had a call on his life to go to Nineveh. I'll say that again. Jonah believed enough about God, he believed it so strongly, that he was willing to bet his own life on the fact that he would not be killed in that storm on the boat, because God had a call on his life to go to Nineveh. Was he trying to get out of that call? Absolutely. Was he being disobedient to that call? He absolutely was. But even in his disobedience, he still knew who God was. He knew that God was good and gracious. One of the main themes of the Old Testament is about the mercies of God, and they endure forever, and his kindness unto all generations. And Jonah knew that, and he believed that. Think about this amazing level of faith that Jonah had in God and in what the Bible declares to be true about God. He wasn't just mouthing the words. He didn't just understand it intellectually. He knew it in his heart. He knew that it was true, and he trusted in his faith in God. What else was there to do but to go to sleep? Now, does this remind you of anybody else? Turn to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verses 22 through 24. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. Will you look at that? Who do we see here sleeping in the hold of the ship while the fishermen cry out in peril of their lives? We see Jesus, just like Jonah, fast asleep in the ship while the storm rages above. The disciples come to him excitingly, waking him up and crying out, We perish! And what does Jesus have to say to them? He rebukes them. Luke 8:25. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. It is in this question by Jesus to his disciples that we have fully discovered Jonah's spiritual secret. Jesus asks, Where is your faith? And he asks it rhetorically, because it is obvious that they really don't have very much, if any at all. But by this point, they certainly should have, don't you think? How about you? Where is your faith? Maybe you're facing something huge today. Maybe your name is one of the names on our prayer list. Maybe you're one of those people with one of those diseases or cancer or brain bleeds or a stroke or heart attack or some sort of a bad accident or broken bones or amputated limb. Where is your faith today? By the time we see Jesus in the boat in Luke chapter 8, the disciples had already seen Jesus heal the servant of the centurion, already seen him heal the man with the withered hand, already listened to the entire Sermon on the Mount, even seen Jesus provide a miraculous overflowing catch of fish, heal people of leprosy, and the list goes on and on and on. Yet, when it was their turn in the fire, they had not very much faith at all. They should have been able to fall asleep just like Jesus was, but they could not. They were missing a key ingredient that Jonah had in abundance. You know, so many times Jonah gets a bad rap for his disobedience to what God called him to do, and maybe rightly so. But in doing that, we overlook his amazing faith in the God he knew personally and trusted personally. Now, let's apply it to you and let's make it real. Think about the last time, maybe it's happening right now, that God has allowed you to go through a really rough and fiery trial. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Maybe God has allowed you to lose your job or become homeless. Maybe you were recently diagnosed with bad news from the doctor. Maybe you've lost a spouse or a child and you feel like your whole world is coming apart at the seams. Maybe it's one or more of any number of dozens of things that can happen in our life that can and do shake us to our very core. Now, what's your reaction? Is it one of faith or of fear? You know, the sailors on Jonah's boat were very, very strong men. They were highly experienced. They had seen some really bad storms. They knew what to do. But the storm that God laid on that boat rocked them to their core. That's how bad that it was. Jonah slept soundly because he knew who God was, and he knew that God would deliver him. Now, before you think I'm just making all this up, turn to Jonah chapter 4, and I'll prove it to you. Jonah chapter 4, verse 2. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. This is what Jonah knew. This is what Jonah actually believed, that God was gracious, merciful, slow to anger, great kindness, and he would repent himself of evil that he might have pronounced. Now, Jonah does not want God to extend that to the Ninevites. From Jonah's perspective, they are past redemption. Paul says in Romans chapter 1 about people given over to a reprobate mind. And as far as Jonah was concerned, the Ninevites were reprobates, and he just wanted God to kill them all. And the last thing that he was going to do was go preach to them, because he knew that they were going to get saved. And he didn't want to see it. Jonah could sleep on the boat because he knew that God would deliver him. Jonah didn't want to preach to the wicked Ninevites because he hated them, because he knew God would have mercy on them and allow them to repent. What about you, Christian? What do you know about God? Do you know enough about God to know that he cares for you? 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Is that true or not true? Was Peter writing something accurate and factual? Or is it just written to, because it sounds good? Do we really cast all our care upon the Lord? Does he really care for us? Well, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. How do you think in your heart about that claim of 1 Peter 5:7? How about this? Do you know enough about God to place your life into his hands? You know, so many different religions and faiths tell their followers that if you do this and do that and do this and, you know, give away this and keep that and pray this prayer and sit in this box and confess your sins and do all this stuff and eat this bread and drink this wine, maybe you might wind up in a good place. Maybe. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says in John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Do you know enough about God to put your life into his hands? How about this? Do you know enough about God to know that he has saved you? 1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Last question. Do you know that God will hear and answer your prayer? Romans 26 says this. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Do you believe that? Paul wrote it. Do you believe that God will hear and answer your prayers? Now, Jonah knew the nature and character of God, and he trusted in that with his whole heart and soul. His falling asleep in the boat was not presumption, and it was not arrogance. It is trust. Are you in a storm today? A lot of people are. Small storms, big storms, medium storms, storms of our own making, storms that have been thrust upon us. Are you in a storm today? Trust in the Lord and then rest in that trust. Give it to God and then go to sleep. This is Jonah's spiritual secret, trusting in the Lord and then resting in it. This is what Jesus was teaching the disciples on the boat. This is the secret to and the essence of the Christian life. And let me just say this in closing. Turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Many of you who have been listening for a number of years remember the Bible study that God gave us, this little nugget, and I think of this quite often, actually. I used to have it up on my refrigerator. Maybe I'll put it back up there. Matthew chapter 14, verses 30 and 31. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, talking about Peter. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And I remember distinctly in that Bible study, and I had read Matthew 14 a lot over the years, and I never noticed that the last three words of verse 30 and the first three words of verse 31 of Matthew 14, Lord, save me, and immediately Jesus. We serve a God who hears our... If you're saved today, you serve a God who hears your prayer, and he answers it according to his will for you. Always remember that any prayer that you pray to God, God's going to answer that prayer in some way that is going to give glory to himself. Why? Because he's worthy. Because he deserves it. Just read Revelation 4 and 5 and see how people really feel about giving God glory when they're face to face with him. They dump it on him because he's worthy of it. And he's the only person who is. There's no human being worthy of that. Mary's not worth that. Joseph's not worth that. The saints aren't worth that. You're not worth that. And neither am I. But he's worthy of it. Look at what Jesus says to Peter in John 21, verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, this is Peter's ordination service into the ministry. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he, Peter, should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. At the start of this message, we asked a question. Are you just winging it, or are you waiting for the Lord, or are you doing a little bit of both? Well, you could see that the four men in Mark chapter 2, they were following the Lord, but they were winging it. The Apostle Paul follows the Lord as hard as any human ever has, and he wings it all the time. Jonah was following the Lord. He was absolutely winging it. If you want God to answer your prayer, Paul says, bring your prayers and praise and petitions with supplication, with thanksgiving. Remember in Lamentations chapter 3? Lamentations chapter 3. At the start of that passage, what was Jeremiah saying? Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul has them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Whatever it is that you're putting before the Lord today, whether it's very small or very large or something in between, give it to him and rest in what you know to be true about the nature and the character of God. The Bible says, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? What do you do when a loved one dies and you're not sure if they were saved? Do you believe that the judge of all the earth will do right? If you do, then you're not going to lose a lot of sleep over your loved one not being here. Paul says that we mourn, but not like the people who have no hope in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And the reason why that we don't mourn like that is because we know a little bit about the nature and the character of God. And what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to trust, not your faith, but you're supposed to put your trust in the nature and the character of God to do what he said that he would do. And after you have done all, to stand. And then go to sleep. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your mercy. Annabelle is asking, how do you pray for something with thanksgiving? You give thanks to God. God, thank you for waking me up today. Lord, thank you for, I may have woken up with 101 fever today, God, but my mind is still clear enough to open up your Bible. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the box of tissues and the hot cup of tea. And God, I hate being sick, but thank you for giving me everything that I need to go through it. That's how you pray with thanksgiving. God, I know I don't deserve anything. All I deserve, God, is the flames of hell. But you were pleased to go to the cross and make a payment in your blood for my sin. Thank you. Thank you. That's how you pray with thanksgiving. And Father God, We are grateful today. We are thankful today. And many of us, Lord, we're flying on one wing. Many of us feel exactly like that image on the article today. One wing is falling off. The other wing is on fire. The engine is hanging on by a bolt. The plane seems to be headed into a jagged cliff. The sun seems to be going down. But God, who is rich in mercy, with his great love wherewith he loved us. And Lord, let us put our hope and faith and trust in you today. And whatever the outcome, God, we don't know always where you're leading, but we're sure getting there pretty quick. And Lord, use this ministry. Use all these people to get something done for you, Lord. Together, we've been able to hand out over 250,000 free King James Bibles, New Testament scripture portions, and gospel tracts. And we're able to do all these things together. And we pray that you continue to leave your blessing upon this ministry and upon these people. Thank you, God, for assembling us and uniting us. And Lord, let us be busy about your business to get something done that will make it through the judgment seat of Christ, Father God. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I hope this little study on are you just winging it? Are you trusting in the Lord? Or is it a combination of the two? I don't know about you, but for me, it is absolutely a combination of the two. And the times that I wing it, I do it based on what I know to be true about what the Bible says about the nature and character of God. And when you know a little bit about his nature and his character, then you'll know what to do. Then you'll know what to do. No Bible study tonight. My voice is wavering and cracking. My body is drenched in sweat right now. Still battling this virus. So please pray for me and Lori Ann and Haley and Liam. And just pray that God gets rid of this sickness that is affecting all of us. And help us pray that God will just give us everything we need to get through it. No Bible study tonight. I'll be asleep at that time. But Lord willing, see you back here tomorrow, noon Eastern time, for another Prophecy News podcast. Have a great Sunday, everybody.
Of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no better way to tell you than to say, God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. 'Cause through it all, God's been good. Times replay, and I can see that I've cried some bitter tears. but I felt his arms around me as I faced my greatest fears. You see, I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt. As his grace rolled down upon me, undeserved. For God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. For God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love was my beginning, and His love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything He is, but the best way that I can say it is this: God's been good in my life. I feel so blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been